Hi, I'm Justine.
And I'm Sarah Lavon.
And we are so glad you're here.
We believe that your life has the potential to make a deep, meaningful impact on the world around you. You, as a nurse, have the ability to add value to every single person and patient you touch.
We want to inspire you with resources, education, and stories to support you to live your absolute best life, both in and outside of work.
But don't expect perfection over here. We're just here to have some conversations about anything birth, work, and life, trying to add some happy to your hour as we all grow together.
By nurses, for nurses, this is Happy Hour with Bundle Birth Nurses.
I was listening to like 600 podcasts this last weekend, and I had a brilliant idea, which I hope is brilliant and I hope is really fun, not only for us, but also for you, because I think a lot of times with a nursing related podcast, it's easy to get lost in the value of clinical, which we totally love clinical. We believe in clinical. But one of our values here at Bundle Birth Nurses is to live your best life. And to me, one of the things that I say with education, which I consider myself an educator, is that my goal for anybody learning anything that I teach is that you can consume it and turn it out into your own. And so what I really believe with this new series idea, and I hope you love it, let us know if you do, is that this would not only affect your everyday life outside of work, but that you would be able to carry some of any of the lessons or values or whatever comes from these types of episodes, which I'm going to tell you in 1 second, into your work life as well. And so my idea was that we, not only you and I, but also maybe we can bring some people onto the podcast that aren't clinical, that we think add value to our lives and that might add value to your life. That's our goal, to share what we are learning in our everyday life. One of the goals of this podcast was also for you to get to know us on a more personal level and not just Bundle Birth Nurses, Justine and Sarah, that like I'm Sarah that has a life. I barely have a life, but I'm starting to have one. And then Justine, who has a life and a family as well. And so for me, I believe that a lot of times that we can become work, and I don't want you to become work. I want you to love work. I want you to apply yourself at work. And then I want you to be able to walk away and live your best life. And so with this new series, occasionally we may pop on here, whether it be just the two of us or with random people in our lives that we think could add value to yours, to share what are we learning. And so my question for you, Justine, which I'll have you answer after, I'll give you a second to like marinate on it for a second, but to ask the question, what are you learning in your everyday life? And so I'm going to share one of the things that has been entirely transformative for me in probably the last like 3 to 4 weeks in particular, but in general, definitely the last month, that I've been focusing on this, I want to say quote unquote mantra, because I sort of still roll my eyes. I'm trying to get used to it because I feel like that's so LA of me to say that, like, I have my mantra. And the idea with that though is like, it's a phrase. It's something that sticks in your head. That's sort of a grounding place. That's what I see it for me in moments where things are hard, where they don't go as planned or as wanted, or you're struggling, or even things are good. And that is the phrase, it's all happening for me. And I go through a lot of this. You've heard them already. Don't write your story, and flex and flow. And there's probably other ones I can't think of because I have a lot of these phrases all the time. But the recent one for me has been, it's all happening for me. And what that means is really this thought process that when something hard happens, instead of complaining about it or being super upset, you can still be upset. I'm not telling you to be emotionless, because trust me, I am expressive in my upsetness. That's not a word. But that to have that moment and then to respond in coping with, it's all happening for me, or what if this is all happening for me? And I'm going to tell a story of my mom, because I called my mom out, and I feel like this is the first story that comes to my head. I'm sure I have a million examples of my own, but I think this one's funny and I think she'd be okay with me telling it. So my mom calls me the other day, and sorry, mom, if you're not okay with me telling this, because it's just such a good story. But it's easier to see from the outside looking in of like the story. So anyway, she calls me and she's like, I could just cry. And I'm like, oh no, like what happened? She's like, I went to the hairdresser and she like cut a hole in my head.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh no. Like she's like, no, it's like really bad. I'm like, where is it? She's like, at the back of my head. I can't even see it from the front, but like it's like an inch too short. And now I have to like take off the, and it, of course, like you hear that. And I'm thinking to myself, like, yeah, that really sucks. Like, I don't want a butchered haircut. Like, no one wants to look that way, right? In the same breath. Right? I've been modeling this and practicing this in my everyday life. The idea that, first of all, who cares? Like, grand scheme of things. So what if people think you have a hole in your head? Like, well, you know, fix it, whatever. It is what it is. And of course, I didn't say that to her because she's in the height of the moment. Would not have gone
not the time.
Not the time. But if you follow it up with, what if this was happening for you? And so I actually told my mom this at the end. I was like, Mom, I have a reframe and I know this is hard and I acknowledge her feelings and I know that sucks. Oh my gosh, yes, complain. And then I said, can I share with you a reframe that's been really helpful to me in moments like these? And she was like, of course. And so I said, what if this is all happening for you? And you know what, I shared my perspective on it, whatever. She called me yesterday. She said, you know, I want to thank you for sharing that with me, because what ended up happening was I was having a hard time going to this hairdresser. I wanted to leave her, but I felt like I was sort of obligated. I sort of felt bad for her. She has a hard life and, you know, I wasn't really happy with the haircut, but I was obligated. And so this released me from going back to this hairdresser and actually brought me back to a previous hairdresser that I had forgotten about and that I realized I'm actually really like and I'm friends with, and it's very life affirming for me to be there. She was able to fix my haircut and she was able to offer me perspective that the haircut I was asking for is actually one of the most challenging haircuts that there are. And so it allowed me to give a little bit more grace and understanding to the previous hairdresser person, because otherwise I think I would have been upset with her to like a frustration and anger for the rest of the time. And I actually feel compassion, right? Until all of time she cut a hole in my head was the words. And so instead I was able to have some more compassion on her in that circumstance. And again, I will think of something if you want it of my own life, because I have hundreds hard conversations. I had a conversation with I feel like this might be outing it, but we're going to go there because I run a business that's like a family. And I had a conversation with a coworker recently that was crucial conversations and was very, very triggering to my own issues of abandonment and my own issues of lack of trust and the own story that I have that people will leave, people will be jealous, people will run away. They can't just celebrate who I am. And instead, it's threatening, it's intimidating, it's, I don't know, fill in the blank, whatever. And I was challenged by that, by the conversation that we had, where I became storyteller of my story, right? And I was writing my own story that this is how it is. Well, of course, there's evidence from previous lives and every circumstance of my whole being is that everybody in the world is jealous of me, you know, which is so not true. And so I had written this story in my head of, well, here we go again. And I was prompted, luckily I do have a mindset coach that I hired like a year ago, and that has been the most fruitful thing probably I've ever done for my own personal self. And this has been part of the work that I've been doing with him. And I reached out and he sort of prompted me with like a, we're done with that story. We're no longer telling that story, Sarah. And I said to myself, well, what if this is working out for me? And then it immediately shifted the perspective on the hard, literally like I stood staring for 40 minutes where I was like, this is all happening again. Oh my God. And like full panic, it turned into what a beautiful opportunity for me that if this is working for me, what can I see? It opens up this whole nother side of your brain to go all of the opportunities in front of me. And sure enough, it was what an opportunity for depth with this coworker. What an opportunity to grow in this way. What an opportunity to identify some story in them that maybe they're playing in. What an opportunity for me to shift the narrative around my future and that we are done with living the previous lives of feeling fill in the blank in my life, that's, I don't receive that for my life going forward. And not to say it will never happen again, but there is a shift, and you can almost hear it, I hope, of, oh, well, okay, well, that it's all happening again, and like, blah, 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 to what a beautiful opportunity for me to consciously say, nope, that's not the narrative. You're not leaving. You're meant to be here. And we're going to work through this, and we're going to fight for this relationship. We're going to fight for this job. We're going to fight to be better. And how much more like beautiful that is for our own personal growth. And so what I want to leave with you, what I'm learning today, and I'm trying to model and practice and reframe, like, literally every circumstance when it's hard, and it could be like my delivery didn't happen. Well, what if this is happening for me? Do I really want to eat that? This happened 2 nights ago. Do I really want to eat that? And actually, when I thought about it, I was like, you know what? I don't actually think I need that food. I have this sweet potato in my fridge that sounds really yummy, and I ended up eating the sweet potato instead. Like, you know what I mean? It could be as simple as a sweet potato or a haircut to a really, really, really meaningful, potentially life-changing conversation that actually didn't become about me based on that coworker, and it actually helped reveal some potential for growth and healing in the other person. And so quickly, I was internalizing it as my story when I don't actually believe it was about my story, if that makes sense. I know I'm kind of being elusive there, but you can fill in the gaps for yourself. And so in moments of hard, what if it's actually happening for you? Justine, what are you learning?
So I didn't have any time to prep this. You know, I had to.
I didn't really either.
Well, yeah, I know. But you're Sarah.
Oh my God.
I need lots of prep. So I was trying to think, like, what am I learning? Am I learning anything in life? And so I think we recently went to a leadership summit that we do every year as a team at Bundlebirth. And neuroplasticity was brought up again. And I think the power of our brains is crazy for good and bad, mm-hmm. right? Like if you think of like anxiety or intrusive thoughts, that's like how powerful our brain is negatively mm-hmm. versus how powerful our brain is positively. And so for me personally, in my personal life, I have been trying to be stronger and create endurance physically. Mm. So I never was in a sport. I was in a sport for one season of softball when I was 8 years old, and my mom stood behind the bat, the pitcher or the catcher mound, and was like yelling things like, I'll buy you an outfit if you hit the ball. Like, bad. Like, people, when I came up to bat, they were so sad. Okay? Aww, it was bad. Baby. So that was the one time I was ever in a sport ever.
Aww.
So, and my
Didn't
parents.
Sound like a positive experience.
It wasn't. So my parents never like worked out. It was always like, it wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. If there was anything about the body or being healthy, it was like in a negative way, right? Like, and we've mm-hmm. heard that narrative of like, I can't eat this. I need to, you know, not do that, mm. et cetera. Not moving your body joyfully. That was never a thing in my life. And so I have recently mm-hmm. fallen in love with moving my body joyfully and doing things that I like cycling, like trying to jog, et cetera. And so I think I've written this story of that I can't ever be an athlete. Like I say, I'm not competitive, mm-hmm. which is true, but I think I'm like fearful of being competitive, even in a mm-hmm. physical mindset. Like I would never commit to going like to be in a race. Like absolutely not. I'll lose. Like there's no, it will never happen. Like, or even I'm doing a triathlon in November. I have no sight. Like I'm not going to win. I just want to do it. Right. But why not? Why don't I want to win? Mm-hmm. Like, why don't I want to try to do something? So I think that I'm loving the idea of neuroplasticity and how we can change what we tell ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's really powerful. And I rode up a hill yesterday that was really hard on my bike, and I stopped and I said, I'm so proud of you, Justine.
Yeah.
I'm tearing up because I'm not, you know, and so it's important that we self-talk to ourselves.
Yes.
Like you can do hard things.
Yeah.
And you can change the way you think. It's just, it's hard to do though. Mm-hmm. And my sister shared the other day, a car like sped by her and like cut her off. You know, the initial is like getting mad at them. Uh-huh. And she looked at that car and was like, I hope they get where they need to go. Like, oh, even reframing it in
so
that
good.
Sense, right? Of just releasing those initial thoughts. What was the thing I told you? The first thought is how we were mm-hmm. raised. The second thought is who we're trying to become.
Yes.
And so my first.
Which I didn't get that when you first said it to me. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay, that's nice. But then the more like, it sort of came up.
Yeah.
And that is how what that became to me that I feel like I needed to internalize from that, because I think that is so powerful. Mm-hmm. That recognizing that your initial response, my initial response is screw you. And right. I would probably think and choose other choice words most definitely if they cut me off. Right. And then like, that's who you used to be.
Yeah.
And then my follow-up thought is, I really hope they get where they're going. I don't mean that, actually.
Especially the first time. Like, yeah, and especially, well, I would say you don't mean the second thought, the first time, I would say. You're just saying it to like,
oh, no,
I'm
yeah,
trying to be like, a better person.
Right, right, exactly.
But that starts becoming
totally
the narrative in your head.
Totally. Even this is so dumb and hilarious that I'm even going to say this out loud, but I went to Vegas this last weekend and I went to a concert and there's this is, I can't even believe I'm telling the story, but it's the case, the yeah. disappointment. So the first, this is like the third time I've been to this Silk Sonic concert, and because I love them.
This summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I get really enthusiastic about things, and when I like things, I really like them. And so, and I've wanted to bring different people where I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, they should experience this. So the second time we went, me and a friend got into this after party with Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars was there. It's like this tiny room of 50 people that's like impossible to get into. And we had like the time of our lives, like hung out with my idol, right? Again, first world problems for sure. This last time we went, we could not get in for our lives. Like we wasted, quote unquote, and in my mind, I'm still trying to retell this story. It's all happening for me. But that how often that becomes like I suck. And this has been a narrative for me that like struggle bus of like I'm not pretty enough. I wasn't, you know, cool enough. Like, you know, why did they hate me? Mm-hmm. And how quickly the story becomes all the things you're previously telling. And I had to consciously every moment be like, I don't know what's going on in their life. Mm-hmm. There has to be a reason why I wasn't in that room. And again, like disappointing, of course, but like nobody gets in that freaking room, you know? And again, such first world problems that I'm like embarrassed to say out loud. But it goes back to that neuroplasticity of my or the first thought was, well, I must not be pretty enough. I must not be cool enough. When like, who cares? This is so
dumb. And you are both of those things.
Well, that's nice to say, but also like compared to the people there, probably not. And so fine, but who cares? And the second thought was who I was becoming and where I'm, you know, I still am like, of course I'm bummed. And like, it wasn't this experience we had last time, but like, who know, like I wasn't meant to be there that night mm-hmm. and I was meant to sleep instead and whatever. So that for me, mm-hmm. I needed to like take some time and marinate on that. Yeah. But I think that the whole first thought, second thought thing is so powerful.
Yeah. I think you can use this as a nurse all the time. Like mm-hmm. the first thought you have, think about it. If a nurse like talks to you in a certain way and it's makes you feel some way, if a provider talks to you a certain way and the mm-hmm. first thought you have, think about it and F how you want to respond. F you. The second thought is, don't write their story.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, that was...
So, neuroplasticity and getting stronger.
Yeah. I guess I don't know how...
Sorry, I detoured that a little bit.
No, and
I thought it was really good.
And I was on the fly of what I'm learning. But, to be honest, that's what I'm kind of diving into. The power of our brains, we can change the way we think and the stories we tell. Mm. And one of my stories is, like, positive movement for my body, taking care of myself. Guys, you deserve to take care of yourselves. You deserve to be selfish with your self-care.
I'm struggling
with and, that. And even the ANA in the Code of Ethics says that nurses need to take care of themselves first. Mm-hmm. And you deserve it. And so.
I like how you said moving my body joyfully mm-hmm. versus exercising mm-hmm. to lose weight or exercising because I'm supposedly good for me.
Right. No, totally. I want to. And my own journey is, like, I want to be in the wilderness. So I want to trail run. I want to hike. Like, I want to be outside. I think that I'm having this, like, impending doom that my son only has 16 more summers with me.
Oh.
You know? Like, there's, like, a timeline.
Yeah.
And so I'm, like, I want to enjoy life. And one way to enjoy life is to be able to do it, mm. you know, and be able to get up and go do it.
Yeah.
And taking care of ourselves is the first thing we can do and the best thing for ourselves and our families. And mm-hmm. so even if I'm not seeing the scale move, which I'm not, which is very frustrating, I am seeing other things move. Like I can jog for 3 miles.
That's insane.
I did that today. So
I don't jog at all.
So I'm very excited about that. So just encouragement for you if you're like, I want to change the narrative of my life. You can.
Well, and that goes from, I guess what I'm hearing from both of us, what we're learning is this idea of changing the narrative and deciding who you want to be, how you want to be. And just because you've been a certain way in the past, negative even, like people ask me all the time, how do you stay so positive? And it's a lot of these tools of, and right now it's what if this is all happening for me? Or in even stronger, with more power is, this is happening for me and declaring that, that sort of like based on the response, and I can be stronger, or I am stronger, and I'm grateful for the fact that I just ran 3 miles. Like, what?
That's so amazing. Grateful. I'm proud of you, Justine. So that was fun. So let us know if you liked this.
Well, and I want to know what you're learning in life, because I think that so often we just go through life and it's sort of like pitter patter, go to work, have dinner, take care of your kids and blah, blah, blah. Versus I think for me, what I love about the idea about this kind of repeat series that we'll pop in with every so often is this prompt to all of us to just pause today and think, what am I learning?
And I could be on TikTok. You could be learning stuff on TikTok. It's okay.
We're working at learning TikTok in general.
I mean, there's just a lot of things. It doesn't have to be some formal class that you took or a book you read. You can learn from podcasts. Yeah. Hopefully this one, obviously.
Or just social being media. Prompted of like, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot lately because we all are learning all the time. Or I had this circumstance where this happened and this, that prompted me to really think about that quote or that way that somebody else lives or fill in the blank. We're all learning something all the time, but I don't want you to miss it because you're not prompted to actually acknowledge it.
Thanks for spending your time with us on this episode of Happy Hour with Bundleberg Nurses. If you like what you heard, it helps us if you subscribe, rate, leave a raving review, and share this episode with a friend. If you want more from us, head to Bundleberg Nurses or follow us on Instagram. Now it's your turn to take what you learned today and apply it to your life.
Living your best life.
We'll see you next time.